I was told some time ago that John Moore wrote that hymn after he had paid a visit to a hospital, visiting somebody who was very sick. And during the course of his visit and standing at the bedside, the sick person had made that remark, "After all burdens are lifted at Calvary." And John went home and sat down and wrote that little hymn. It's gone all around the world. One night he was in his own home in the city of Glasgow, and his phone rang, and somebody said to him, "What are you doing, John?" He said, "I'm just getting ready for bed." They said, "Tune in your radio to 208 meters from Luxembourg." And he did. Tuned into the pirate station from Luxembourg. And here it was old Charles Fuller of the Old Fashioned Revival Hour it was on. And the choir there were singing, "Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary." John sat in his own house and heard this hymn being sung, originally coming from California and then being broadcast over Luxembourg. He said it did his heart a lot of good to sit there and listen to that choir singing that little hymn. It has become quite a favorite. It has been recorded by quite a number of singers, and I suppose it's sung in lots of places. I think I had the privilege of bringing it first to the United States. Before it was published in a book, I had it in a little sheet, and we sang it all around here in Durham and in Raleigh, and somebody copied it out and they were singing it, and now and then it appeared in these books. I still like it, so does Bobby, and I think everybody likes to sing "Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary." Let us bow very quietly for a moment or two in prayer before we read the scriptures. Our Father, as we draw near into thy holy presence, we beseech of thee now that by thy Holy Spirit thou shalt quieten all our hearts. Grant that we shall be receptive today to the word of truth. As we read from the Holy Scriptures, will thou be pleased to put the seal of thine approval upon what is read, upon what is said. May thy name be glorified through this service, and thy Son exalted, as blessing is brought to men and women. Hear us in these things now for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to read to you today from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8. The 8th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. We shall commence our reading at verse 4, and we'll read through to the end of verse 21. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8, verse 4. "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and was trodden down. The fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. When he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.' His disciples asked him, saying, 'What might this parable be?' And he said, 'Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he had lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to see thee. He answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. And I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of the Scriptures. Now, as you read these verses and you take time to consider them and ponder them, I'm sure of this, you'll come to the conclusion that the vital thing in this passage is the importance of the Word of God. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, he spoke the Word orally. People could hear with their ears. Today we have the word written for us in this book we call the Bible. Now I hope for the short time we are together this morning that this thought will get deep into all our hearts, that this is an important book. It's something that's got to be considered intelligently. You see, we're living in strange days. I had a phone call a few days ago from a lady who is very upset, we may say that, exercised about her daughter. Now her daughter's a Christian, but she's away from home. And the company she's in are trying to upset her with regards to her faith in the Word of God. Now remember, the company she's in are supposed to be highly educated, intelligent people. But many of these people who try to boast about their intelligence and their education are casting doubt upon the Word of God. They seem to have arrived at the conclusion that it doesn't make any difference what you believe as long as you're sincere in your belief. That no religion is any better than another one. It's all the same whether you're a Buddhist or a Muslim, or you profess to be a Christian, makes no difference, you're all on the same level. Now that is the kind of idea that's got hold of this present generation. Let me say this, without any reservation, Christianity is not simply another kind of religion. Christianity stands unique above all others. The Bible is not simply another kind of religious book which can be put alongside the Book of Mormon or the Quran or any of the other writings of men. The Bible stands unique as the inspired word of the eternal God. It stands alone. And when people intellectually reach a point where they say, well, after all, how do we know it's the Word of God? Well, if they don't want to believe it's the Word of God, that's up to them. They are unbelievers. And if they die in that state, they'll perish in hell. And get it straight. The Word of God is eternal. And this book will be brought up in the judgment against them. In this passage, not only do we learn the importance of the Word of God, but we also are taught our responsibility to listen to it, to hear it, and then to obey it. You see, at this particular time, when you come to verse 8, it says, and when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now the Lord Jesus Christ was not ashamed to lift his voice and to speak loud enough for the people to hear. Have you ever thought there was a time when there were 5,000 people, 5,000 men besides women and children were gathered around him and sitting on the hillside, and he could push a little boat out from the shore and stand in the boat and he could speak and that whole crowd could hear him? I don't know what some folk think today, but they seem to think that people can't hear unless you've got a PA system. I sometimes wonder how the old preachers did. Places where I preached where crowds were standing around and we had no PA system except this one here. A policeman came along one day and he says, there's a complaint. We're holding a street meeting in a certain place in Liverpool. I just finished preaching and had made my way up towards the chapel and the rest were finishing off when the complaint came. The people have complained. You'll have to stop using that PA system in this street. One man said, you're too late. He's away up to the chapel already. We weren't using a PA system. The Lord lifted up his voice and he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So here we're taught the importance of hearing the Word of God, the pure Word. But now when we come down to verse 18, we read something else in verse 18. It says, take heed therefore how ye hear. Take heed how you hear. See, it's not only a matter of hearing, but there's an important matter here. It's how we hear. Now there's another place in the Word of God, back in the Gospel according to Mark, where we're warned as to what we hear. But in this part, we're warned about how we hear. So you see, it is important also to know what we hear. Now there are some things that it won't help you to listen to. Be careful what you hear. Now you know, over the air today you have a multitude of voices, all masquerading under the name of religion, religious programs. This is the voice of prophecy, is it? A lot of lies from the devil. What is this? Denying the fundamentals of the Christian faith. This is frank and earnest, is it? They're not frank. They may be earnest, but earnest about untruths. You see, you listen to some of these things now. It says, be careful now what you hear, what you hear. And if you're going to fill your mind with many of the things that are being propounded today, you're going to be led astray. Some of us have learned to be very careful as to what we hear. You know, when these well-dressed folks come along to your home and they just come and they want to share a little Bible meditation with you. Is it a Bible meditation? Or is it the teaching of some false prophet? Well, be careful, don't listen to it. If it's from the Word of God, yes, let's listen to what's from that book. Be careful, he said, what you hear, but now he said we have to be careful how we hear. We'll come back to that in a moment. But then when we come a little further down and we come to verse 21, we learn something else here. He said, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. So you see, the Lord is emphasizing the need for us to hear, that is to listen, pay attention to the word of God. Then he emphasizes how we've to hear. Does that make any difference how we hear? Yes. We've got to hear with a prepared heart and with a teachable spirit. Then hearing and doing is going to decide our eternal relationships and, of course, our eternal destiny. Now then, he's teaching them here by way of a parable. He spoke the parable unto them and they didn't understand what it was. And the disciples came to him and said, now, what's the meaning of this parable? Now he tells them this. Now the parable is this. And he starts to give the meaning of the parable. And the basic thing is this. This seed is the word of God. In the parable you have a sower. You have the seed. You have the soil. And you have the sequence of the sowing of the seed. Now notice where the seed, and by the way, all the seed is good. There's nothing wrong with the seed. You know, seed is a very valuable thing, and so is the Word of God. He says the seed is the Word of God. Seed. Seed is a valuable thing. If you don't believe it, just go and buy a few packets of seed these days and see how few seeds are in the packet compared to what we used to get about 10 years ago. They've put the price up and the quantity of seed has gone down. In fact, sometimes you have to watch in case you lose them. You'd almost count them now. Seed is a valuable thing. Have you ever thought of it? Suppose that we didn't have any seed for the next 3 years. How would this nation live if we didn't have seed? Not only is seed valuable, seed is virile. You see, you take that little seed, a tiny little thing, and you look at it. There's something in that seed you can't see, but it's there all right. There is a living principle in that seed put there by God. When God made his great creation, there were trees producing fruit with the seed, and each one as it was planted would produce again its own kind. You take an ear of corn, and you take all the little kernels and you go and sow them again. I took an old pumpkin last year and threw it out. The trashy. I have pumpkin things going all over my garden at this time. I didn't even plant them, but there must have been some living principle in the seeds of that pumpkin. And they've taken root and they're growing and growing and going all over the place. I didn't make them grow. You see, God has put a living principle in the seed. In like manner, do you realize that there's a life-giving principle in the Word of God? Born again, says the Word of God. Born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. The Lord said the seed is the Word of God. The Word of God is like a living seed, is virile. Not only so, it's vital. I've indicated already that you and I couldn't live without seed. You take it almost every time you sit down at the table to eat. You're taking seed either in one form or another. I don't care whether it's oatmeal porridge or grits. I know the one I like best, but perhaps you like the other one, but if you take any of them, you're taking seed. You take a piece of bread, whether it's white bread or brown bread, I care not, it's bread. And that bread is made from seed. It may be crushed and milled, but it's seed. If you had no seed, you would have no bread. The staff of life. Whether you buy it in packets at the store and just put it over and put milk on it, it's seed. Whether it's corn flakes or bran flakes, it's seed. And so from morning till night, as you sit down at the table and eat, you're eating seed. It's vital to life. And so is the Word of God. There's no eternal life apart from the operation of the Word of God. The Word of God under the power of the Spirit of God effects the new birth. Now look. He says this seed was sown. Watch now, be careful what you hear and how you hear. There are some people who will not hear and they will not reproduce. Now you have seed falling into four different kinds of ground. There are seed that falls by the wayside. It's trodden underfoot and it's taken away. Plain words, it's rejected. And when it is rejected, it's removed. Take heed how you hear. You see, there are some people who are like that wayside path that's trodden underfoot. It's hard. The seed doesn't get in. It falls on the place all right, but it doesn't get in. It's not received. See, our responsibility is to receive and to retain and then to reproduce after the kind of the seed that's sown. But when it's sown on that pathway, it's rejected. Take heed how you hear. There are some people who have a closed heart. Absolutely closed. They have made up their mind beforehand that if it's so and so that's preaching, I'm not going to believe a word he says. I wouldn't listen to him. Don't like his preaching, so I'm not going to take anything he's got to say. That's a closed heart. There are some people have got a closed mind against the things of the Word of God. They have made up their mind that this is what they believe, and no matter what the Bible says, they're not going to change their mind. Closed heart, hardened heart, closed mind. Suppose the great archangel himself came down and took that book and showed them certain things in that book. They say, I don't believe it. Don't believe it. I've never got over a man who one night was trying to convince a friend of mine that there was no such thing as eternal punishment, and I listened to it till I couldn't listen any longer, and I said to him, now just a minute, Peter. I said, it's time for me to speak. I said, you've been reading from that paper you've got there. I don't know who published it or who printed it, but I said, I'm going to read to you from a little book. He says, what little book? I said, a little book I've got in my pocket here, and I took out a little testament. I said, a wonderful little book this. It's called the New Testament. I said, I'm going to read to you from this. I turned over to the book of Revelation and began to read about the great white throne. And I read right down to the part, and all whose names were not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. And I pointed out to him they were to be tormented day and night forever and forever. He rose off his seat and he stamped back and forward the floor of that house, tearing in his hair. He says, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I said, it's in the Bible and I believe it. He didn't believe it. You see, there are some people like that. They've made up their mind on certain things, certain issues, and you can show it to them over and over again from the Word of God. This is what the Bible teaches. I don't believe it. But my friend, your unbelief will never make the truth of God without effect. If it's in the Word of God, it's there. And it will stand for time and for eternity. So let's be careful. Be careful how we hear. First of all, we've to hear. Let he that hears to hear, let him hear. We've to hear the pure word. How we hear, we've to hear with a prepared heart. We've to hear with a teachable spirit. Not only hearing, but there's to be the doing. Now look. Not only was there seed that fell by that wayside path that was rejected and the devil removed it, but there was another time. And some fell upon a rock or upon the rocky ground. And as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. You see, here is seed that falls in a place. It just got a little skimming of soil and the rock is underneath. And my, all of a sudden, it springs up. Fine. But in giving the meaning, he says, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. These have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Now notice, very carefully. To begin with, you would almost think, they had said, oh, this is it. I agree with that, yes. I think that's wonderful. I'm going to make my decision. I'll make my commitment. But the time comes when there's a testing time, and it's discovered they've got no depth. They've got no root. The roots have never got down. The rock is there. The roots have never got down through the rock. And when the times of temptation come, when the winds blow, the drought come, the sun beats upon it, the thing shrivels up. There was no reality. There was nothing wrong with the seed. It was the soil that was at fault. Nothing wrong with the word that's preached, but the person who made this outward show of things. Some people make an outward show for different reasons. Perhaps they want to make an impression on their parents in order to get something from dad or mom. Others make a profession to help them in business. Others think it will give them a little bit of prestige in the area. All sorts of things. You've no idea the reasons why some people will make a profession. Friend, they're like that on the rock, and when the testing time comes, they shrivel up because they've got no life. They haven't got the real thing. Careful how you hear. But there's another group here. There's that which fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Ah, here's the seed that gets into the ground, but this piece of ground is preoccupied with other things. There are other roots there. The thorns and the thistles are there. And that seed gets in, nothing wrong with the seed. But because the ground is preoccupied with other things, these other things come up and they choke the good seed. These are they. That which fell among the thorns are they which have heard, and they go forth and are choked with the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this life. Our little children don't have many of the cares of this life, but some of you older folks have. Cares of life. There are other folk who are engaged now with the riches of this life. And because they're so determined to get the riches of this life, it chokes the spiritual thing. Others perhaps don't have any of the cares, and they don't have the riches, but they want the pleasures of this life. And whether it's with the cares of this life, or the riches of this life, or the pleasures of this life, these things are contrary to the Word of God, and the Word of God is choked. It's like the world, the flesh, and the devil. You see, the devil comes and he snatches away the seed. The flesh starves the plant and it withers. And the world smothers the plant and chokes it. What about you? He says we have to be careful then how we hear. How do you hear? The seed is sown all right. There's nothing wrong with the seed. But what about the attitude? The attitude of the people represented by the soil. Our attitude to what we hear will decide our spiritual welfare, you know. Very interesting thing here. Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have, or thinketh he hath. Have you ever puzzled over that scripture? You look at the scripture and you say, well, after all, what does it mean? To him that hath shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be. How could you take away a thing he doesn't have? It seems to be somehow confusing until you sit down and puzzle it through. You see, here are two people, and they both heard the word, but there's been a different response. Some people seem to have it. Some people profess to have it. They think they have it, yet they haven't got anything. Now, suppose here's someone who says, oh, I have the word all right, I've received the word. The time comes when they're in trouble, they're in difficulties, and someone points, oh, they say, oh, that doesn't do me any good at all. Don't quote the Bible to me. Why? Let me ask you something, my friend. Have you ever thought within your own soul, when passing through times of trouble, that you would turn to the Bible and look for some of the promises? But unfortunately, when you look for the promises, they didn't seem to meet your need. Or you couldn't remember them. You couldn't lay hold upon the promises of the Word of God. Why? Don't they mean anything to you? May I suggest why you cannot lay hold upon the promises of God? Because you have failed, deliberately failed to keep its precepts. That which you thought you had, that which you seemed to have, has been taken away. And no longer can you grasp the promises of the Word because you deliberately refused its precepts. And wherever there's a promise, there's a precept. Be careful how we hear. And if we listen to the Word, and we receive the Word, and we retain the Word, and we reproduce in our life that which is answerable to the Word, then there will be added to it. From what you've got, He will add those promises and make them real in your life. But if you reject the teaching and the precepts of the Word, you'll never be able to lay hold on the promises. If you refuse the precepts, then how can you claim the promises? You can't. You must either take the Word in its entirety or not at all. It's possible then to hear the Word unprofitably. There were those by the wayside, there were those on the rock, and those where the thorns and the thistles were. Unprofitable hearing. I wonder how many people have sat in services week after week, year after year. They've heard the Word of God read, they've heard it preached, and it hasn't profited them anything at all. They're no nearer heaven today than they were 40 years ago. No nearer to salvation now than what they were 10 years ago. It's been unprofitable because they haven't heard in the right way. But then look at this little passage here that I read to you about the man with the candle or the lamp. No man, when he had lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel. You see, the idea is this, again, he's dealing with the Word of God. Whosoever hath, or take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. He's dealing here with the Word of God. It's a light. But it is that light, when it's lit, it's to be put on the place where it will give light to others. If you put it under the bed, that's dangerous. Who ever put an oil lamp under a bed? That's not the place for it. And if you're going to bed with the oil lamp under the bed, you can rest assured you're in danger. Neither do you hide it under the bushel. You don't hide your light in business, and you don't hide it under the bed. You put the lamp up in the place where it's going to give light, so that those that come into the home will see the light. You see, the Word of God is taking effect now in the life. But then again, this to be the heeding the Word of God. That's the fourth soil. And that corresponds again with what went further down. Here's the good soil. The seed goes in. It goes down. It sets its roots. It springs up. It produces fruit answerable to the seed that was sown. Now when I come to this little section at the end, he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the Word of God and do it. Now get this very straight. The good ground brings forth good fruit. Then again, here's a relationship here at the end. Some folk think that because of a natural relationship that they have the right to get in through the crowd and get nearer to the Savior. Because of a natural relationship, the Lord says, no, that's out. The relationship that stands and will stand for eternity is a relationship established through the influence of the Word of God. They are they that hear the Word of God and do it. Not simply hear it when they attend a service. Here's the person who gets the word. It gets down not only into the mind, but into the heart, into the soul, touches the will. That man or that woman says, that's the word for me, that's God's word. I submit to it. I bow to it. I repent myself in sackcloth and ashes. I'm the sinner. I need to be saved. You see, you'll notice where that word saved came in. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. See, the first three, they're not saved. But the last one, the good ground, it gets in, it gets down, it springs forth, it produces fruit that's answerable to the word. They're saved. By the fruits, you'll know them. See, my friend, it does make a difference how we react to the Word of God. This is God's eternal Word. We cannot afford to take it and push it aside as if it didn't matter. It's God's Word to me. It's God's Word to you. This word will stand when the old earth has crumbled and passed into oblivion. He says, my word shall never pass away. How have you responded to the word? Do you accept God's word, Genesis to Revelation, without reservation? If so, do you accept God's word in the terms of salvation as to how men and women can be saved? Do you accept this word that tells you about our eternal destiny, a heaven to be gained, a hell to be shunned? We're going on. Time's running out. Life is short. Sooner or later you'll have to face God. How will you answer, my friend? How will you face up if you have rejected God's word now? It will be too late when you've passed the boundary line. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for another morning hour spent together. We pray thy blessing upon the word that's been preached. We realize that men and women need to get saved. We want the Savior to be honored. We want a fresh trophy to be laid at his feet. Grant, O God, that even now, in the closing moments of this service, that some poor struggling sinner return to thee, the living God, and exercise faith in Jesus Christ. Hear us in these things for his own name's sake. Amen.